Shalom to everybody. We're going to have a special shiur tonight in honor of Chanukah. And I'm going to start out with something that you don't have on the printed sheets, but I put in here. This is a quote from the Jewish Chronicle, one of the oldest Jewish newspapers, from September 9th, 1935, Elul Tafresh Sarihe. This is right after Rav Kook passed away. And they interviewed Abraham Melnikov, who I never heard of him, but according to the internet, he's a very famous, world-famous sculptor. And he knew Rav Kook in England. And he is quoting here Rav Kook, so it's written in the first person. And he writes as follows, "When I lived in London, I would visit the National Gallery, and the paintings that I loved the most were those of Rembrandt. In my opinion, Rembrandt was a saint, a tzaddik. When I first saw Rembrandt's paintings, they reminded me of the rabbinical statement about the creation of light. When God created the light, it was so strong and luminous that it was possible to see from one end of the world to the other. And God feared that the wicked would make use of it. What did he do? God secreted it for the righteous in the world to come. But from time to time, there are great men whom God blesses with a vision of the hidden light. I believe Rembrandt was one of them, and the light of his paintings is that light which God created on Genesis Day." Now, even if you take 50% or even 60 or 70% off of this quote, this is a very, very interesting quote that Rav Kook took time to go to the National Gallery. Is that still around? In London. And that he, I checked in on the internet that one of the special things about Rembrandt's paintings is his use of light. So it's interesting, Rav Kook never learned painting, but he noticed it. And the question is, what is Rav Kook, one of the topics that Rav Kook relates to a lot, is the relationship between Yavan and Yisrael. And it's very fitting in Chanukah when we talk about the Hitnagdut, the battle between the Mityavnim, the Hellenists, and the Jews and the Maccabees. What part of Hellenism can we adopt and what not? And obviously when Rav Kook is talking here about Yavan, he's referring to the Western world. And it's very, very clear. He actually says it. And so here we go. In source number one, I brought from Igrota Re'iya, Igrat Taf Tzadi Gimel, where Rav Kook writes to Dr. Kaminka, a sofer, a writer, "Ki yesh koach rav besifrut mekorit shelanu la'aged elenu et kol ha'pizurim asher nafotsu mi'itanu." The writers, and you have to remember, Rav Kook knew Bialik from their time together in Volozhin. Rav Kook was very close to Azar. Azar was a chassid of Rav Kook. Kfar Azar is named after him. Brenner held very much from Rav Kook. So Rav Kook holds very much from the importance of having modern Hebrew literature. Be'itya shel yafyuto shel Yefet, he says, especially in the outcome of the beauty of Yefet, Greece, the Western world, Sheet parza bepeta shetav shel zeren letochu genu. And here we see the first point that Rav Kook relates to. And again, our topic is what yes and what not to take from the Western world. The first point Rav Kook says is that we should take it in slowly but surely. Right? When the Western world comes in too strong and it wants to take over Judaism, then obviously that's a problem. It's sort of like vaccines. We're talking a lot last couple of years about vaccines, that how a vaccine works is you take a little of the germ and you put it in the body, and the body builds up these antibodies to learn to overcome that certain small minun, the small amount that you put in. So basically the first point that Rav Kook is making is that the Western world, even that which we do accept, we should accept it bitzura mevukeret, right? How do you say?
Carefully.
Carefully. a little at the time, and not too much at a time. That's point number one. Point number two, Ramoshe Tzvineria in Moade Riyah, page Kufayin Tet, brings things in that sefer that he heard personally from Rav Kook that are not found in his books. And he writes, Hamigama ha-brura shel chachmei hador haita lachdir ta tochen shel kidusha bechol hadargot bechol shitchei ha-chaim. Hare, the goal of Judaism, everyone quotes the Baal Shem Tov, but it's actually Chazal who say, lit atar panoi mine. No place should be void of godliness. All right, there's one God, and he created everything, and we are meant to reveal the godliness in every aspect of life, including the Western world. But, and here's the but, lumata hityavnut, as opposed to the Hellenists and the Greek culture, shepaga biyasoda emuna v'gazra kidvu lachem al keren ashor she'en lichem chelik belokei Yisrael. The Bereishit Rabbah tells us, and by the way, if anybody wants to see a great example of Rav Kook's darshanut, again, this is something that he said orally. And just picture Rav Kook saying this orally, and it really is a pretty creative drasha. Chazal tell us that the Greeks issued a decree that the Jews had to write on the keren hashor, on the shofar, on the horn of the ox, we have no share in the God of Israel. Now, Rav Kook is going to midayek. Why does it say the God of Israel and not God? And also, what's special about the horn of the ox? Vishilula is kir shem shamayim. And the idea that the Greeks did not want us to mention the name of God, he chlit beit din shel hachashmonaim lazkir shem shamayim b'shtarot. Rav Kook is beautifully connecting the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet, and the Midrash that we just quoted, saying that the Davka, what did the Maccabees do? Excuse me, the Beit Din, the Maccabees, made a, you know, originally we don't, generally we don't use God's name in vain. But they Davka made a takana, just like today. This is the source of what we write very often on the top of a secular page, a secular letter, Bete, Baruch Hashem, B'siyata Dishmaya, that the Maccabees issued a decree that on all contracts, we're talking about monetary contracts, totally secular issues, but you have to mention God's name there. This is the source of In God We Trust, I guess, on the money. Mm-hmm. And what Rav Kook is beautifully explaining it, this is the way the Maccabees fought the Hellenists. Because Hainu Lachniz Zerem Shel Kodesh Gam B'Chayechol, the Torah wants to bring the stream of holiness into every aspect of secular life. Lashgirit Yesod Emunat Gam B'Masa U'Matan Shel Kinyanim Chomriyim U'Likayem Mash Ne'amar B'Chol Drachecha Da'eyu. Hooray, what does the ox represent? In rabbinical literature, the ox is the tractor. In the olden days, they used to use a tractor. They would plow with an ox. So the idea is that the Greeks wanted to keep the secular secular, and that all of life should be secular. We don't want anybody writing God's name on the tractors. And the Maccabees did the opposite. Davka, they started writing God's name on all of the monetary agreements. And this is according to the idea of Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu. By the way, the Rambam, you know, in general, the Rambam's a rationalist. But one of the few places that he really gets excited emotionally is in Hilchot Deot. He just, also Shmona Prakim, in both places, he says, Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, were able to summarize all of life and all of Torah in three concise words. Bechol drachecha da'ehu. To know God in all of your ways. We're supposed to go in the ways of God, and we're supposed to copy God. Selim Elokim is litzalem, to copy God. Imitati Odei. So we should make our ways, when we, derech eretz, right, when you go to work, and whatever it is, secular, to make it the ways of God. Ubederech zot he'ir ha'or ha'tahor. Notice, Rav Kook, in a lot of these quotes, is going to mention or, not just because he calls all of his books or, and it's a favorite topic. But getting back to Rembrandt, how we started, and getting to the lights of Hanukkah, where we light up the choshech of the Greeks, of Yavan. B'chol pinat ha'chaim u'lechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvotam. That Rav Kook is saying there is nothing dark. And we all know, Chazal say, that even a little light can chase away a lot of darkness in every aspect of life. So the point number two, don't worry, I'll summarize at the end, but if you're, it's always a good idea for those at home want to take notes and write the points down as we write them. Point number two, point number one is to accept the Western world slowly. Point number two, and you have to remember also, most of the rabbis came out a lot stronger than Rav Kook against the Western world. They just said, stay away. And Rav Kook, Davka, is being relatively liberal as far as great rabbis go, as we'll see. But even he says, take it a little at a time. Number two, what we see here is that the idea of Judaism is Davka to combine the physical and the spiritual, as opposed to the Greeks, who they just went out, naked in the Olympics, and everything was physical, and they didn't hide anything. And here we already have a foreshadowing of what Rav Kook is going to say on the pasuk in Bereishit Tet, Yafe yafyuto shel yefet be'ohalei shem, that the beauty of Greece should be in the tents of Israel. What does it mean in the tents of Israel? Covered up, not naked outside in the streets. And where, you know, we'll let Rav Kook say it when we get there. Okay, so we'll get there pretty soon. Source number three, Mamari Re'iya, page 408, on the topic of Kodesh V'chol, and again, this is one of the central topics in Rav Kook's philosophy. I would say that there are more than 100 central topics in Rav Kook's philosophy. He has a lot of central topics, but this is one of them. Piska Yud Gimel. Me'et asher hizdavga chochmat Yavan liYisrael. When, as soon as, from the time that Chochmat Yavan, Greek philosophy, came to join Israel, Hechel hachol lavo bigvul hakodesh, and the secular began to enter the holy, umimela gam hakodesh ba bigvul hachol. Now the fact that we want, and we just said, that we want the holiness to come into the secular, that's good. Rav Kook is pointing out that inevitably it's going to be two ways. Okay? Let's jump for a second in Source 9, where Rav Kook in Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Dalid, page Taf Tzadi Tet, writes exactly about this. Netiyat HaChesed Tzricha Hagana Gdola. Chesed, we know, is the Midah, is the character trait of Avraham Avinu. And it's very important to do a lot of Chesed, but you got to be careful not to become a friar, right? Not to overdo. You got to be careful regarding chesed. Aluhu bal hachesed hanotela hashpia lakol. Or the whole idea of a bal chesed is that he wants to influence everyone. That's why Avraham is called Avraham Ohavi. And the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvah Bet or Gimel, he says on the mitzvah, Va'avat Hashem, what does it mean that Avraham loved God? He loved them so much, he wants everyone else to love them as well. So Avraham wanted to spread the word of God, Avraham migayeret agvarim, Sarah migayeret et anashim, right? Avraham and Sarah, they converted the men and the women, whoever they could. Liyot gamken mikabel mikol. But the way of nice people, like Avraham, who is a ish chesed, is also to accept from them. Pashut is a nice guy. And as soon as you open up the pipe, it's going to be two ways. Kachi darka shel hashpa'a, that is the way of influence. She chozeret el anoten be'ezet surah moshpat. See, the Jews in America. Right? The Jews in America, instead of us being an or lagoyim, a light to the nations, instead of us influencing them, they're influencing us. So the Jews are assimilating more than they are influencing others. And we'll talk about that later, that one of the solutions is the home court advantage, to be in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel. Okay? But Rav Kook will get there a little later. The idea is that, yes, we do want to influence the world, and I have to point out, the term Orla Goyim, to be a light to the nations appears twice in Tanakh, both in Yeshayahu, and both are in the context of having a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, from here, Kimitzion Tetze Torah. From here, we influence the world. Again, here we have the home court advantage. Here, we're not influenced by others, but we can influence the others. But, omnam, zel kochol shel or chesed elyon, el zoem b'chol yom. Even God, who is a God of chesed, Chazal tell us, it's actually from Parshat Balak, that God has that moment every day where he's angry, midat hadin, where he says, no, I am not going to use chesed at this moment. I'm not going to give you everything because if I give to you, you might influence me. Shelo tashuv shum hashpa'at kabbalah ki'im. I'm sorry, I didn't go down to source number 9 for those following on the internet. Here we go. Okay. Ki'im me'anosim ha'tehorim utfilat yesharim ritzono. V'chol harisha kula, he rak mekabelet v'lo mashpat, yesod birya kala dema'alna itle umafakna letle. Rav Kook is unbelievably creative. Some of you may have noticed, this is from the Sugya Masechet Gittin, that talks about, I think it's earthworms or grasshoppers, that says that there is this certain creature who eats but does not put out waste. In other words, there is such a thing as a one-way street. Now, halachically, and Rav Kook mentions this in other places in his writings, the klal in halacha is kibolo kach polto, that when you kosher a pot, which you cooked with water, the way of koshering it to bring out the unkosher is by boiling water. If a pan swallowed without water by roasting, so you have to do libun. The way it absorbs, that's the way it comes out. And Rav Kook is saying beautifully that yes, that is the problem when we want to influence, if we want to influence the Western world, then somewhere along the line, we have to worry about them influencing us. I guess you could say it's like when you have an electric wire, right? Outside, it's rubber, I guess, plastic, right, for insulation. And then inside the electric wire, there are two or sometimes three thinner wires, and each one of them is insulated, right? There's the blue, the brown, and sometimes the ha'araka, the yellow. And oy vavoy, if one of those insulations tears, that causes a short circuit. That could electrocute you. Because each one, the solution is to have within the large pipe, to have insulated pipes so that you can, as much as possible, send our message to the world without getting their messages. Except, as we said, little by little, in a mivukar way, and in a mivukar? Critical way. Tada. Avraham huftach. Again, source 9b. Avraham Avinu was promised. Bimagen, right? Hashem says to Avraham, Ani magen lecha. I'm going to protect you. Why does Avraham need more protection than Yitzchak and Yaakov? Because Avraham is midat hachesed. Avraham is the one who's giving all the time, and he needs that protection because nice, giving, altruistic people inevitably are also open to outside influence. Shelo tazikei hashpa'ato shaitash fuchal pnei kol volechet le'araim ve'latovim, etc., etc. Ve'yeshu muchrach li'yishamer shelo li'yot me'anel l'shum makom shafel kidei shelo tashuv shum hashpa'a shfela alav. In other words, we have to daven. If someone's on the level of Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, I'll protect you from getting over-influenced. But we mortals, we normal people, we have to daven to pray that we should also influence the world while not being overthrown by modernism. Okay, so that is the third point. And then back to source number 3, Rav Kook. Again, we are in 3 Aleph. Ella. Ela hamechabrim. Here, the second line of 3 Aleph. Here we go. where my problem is here. Here we go. Ela hamechabrim, asher chibruit arvei et erkei hachol, ve'erkei hakodesh yachad b'chibur shel irbuvia. But those who want to mix together kodesh and chol, Israel and Greece, shekavanatam haita la'asot shalom ben ele shnei amudim, garmu l'chol oto milchama ha'arura. They caused that cursed war, she'anachnu inenu adayin ochlim et perotea hamarim. And here we have another point. Don't mix. Rav Kook goes on to say that the bracha that we make every Saturday night, lavdil ben kodesh l'chol, is a very, very important idea here. Yes, chol is necessary, but it's not kodesh. As a matter of fact, sometimes between Shabbat and Yom Tov, we make an havdalah, lavdil ben kodesh l'kodesh. Even within Kiddusha, there are different levels, right? You got Kohanim and Leviim and Yisrael, but there's a difference ben Yisrael la'amim. There's a difference between holy and secular. That doesn't mean that secular is bad. We mentioned in the past, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say in French, I don't speak French, but he used to say, "Differentiation, c'est pas séparation." Differentiation is not separation. We are connected with the nations of the world. We want to influence the nations of the world, but don't put them together. Don't irbuvia. I mentioned in the past of my in-laws, when they used to come up from America, they'd always bring toys. I mentioned I have a niece who once thought that America was the name of a toy store. So my mother-in-law asked my wife what to bring Ashira. She said crayons. Well, we were kids, a box of 8 crayons. We were happy. But today in America, everything is big, and she brings a box of 120 crayons with a sharpener. And my daughter is happy, and she starts drawing, trying out all the different colors together on the same page. And after about 15 minutes and 15 different colors, the page is black. And she asks for another page, and she tries different colors. And after another 15 minutes and another 15 colors, again, the page is black. And then I understood on our topic of what is the light of Chanukah, or the light of Rav Kook, that most of his books are called Orot This or Orot That. The whole difference between Or and Choshech, Harei Or, we learned in 5th grade, is comprised of all the different lights in the prism, right? Roy, Jibiv, red, orange, yellow, green. But the Chidush is that they're aligned. On the other hand, you could take those same colors and put them bi'irbuvia, one on top of the other, and you get choshech. Mm-hmm. It's like the difference between a salad, where you taste a little of this and a little of that, and they harmonize together. Or if you just throw those same vegetables in a blender, it comes out disgusting, right? The same thing with music. Everybody just sings whatever they want. It's a total balagan. On the other hand, if everyone's singing the same note, it's also boring. The beauty of music, and this is Rav Kook says, the beauty of everything in life is harmony. To take 3 different notes, A, C, E, which harmonize, the difference between them harmonizes together. So again, Rav Kook says, on this topic also, Havdalah is essential. Hala. Let's jump down to paragraph 3 Gimel. Again, we're just doing the highlights here because it's by the way, this is just a drop of what Rav Kook writes on the topic. He writes so much, but there's like his greatest hits, the most important points. In 3 Gimel, towards the end of the paragraph, Kigam HaKodesh, do you see that?
Yeah.
Kigam HaKodesh Tsarichu L'Simucho Shel HaChol. Here we see another aspect. I already lost count of what point this is. We'll summarize it at the end. Kodesh needs the support of Chol. Israel needs the support of Greece, of the Western world. L'takin et kelav ha-ma'asiyim. You have to remember, Rav Kook writes a lot about this, after 2,000 years that we were living basically like angels. Right? Jews in a lot of countries didn't own land. For sure, we didn't serve in the army. We didn't have any national life. We didn't speak the national language. So we were basically a religion, and not a nation. Now that we are going back to becoming a nation, we have to reawaken the kelim ma'asiyim, which Davka the Western world excels at. You have to remember, and Rav Kook also mentions this, there are several reasons why Zionism had to begin as a secular movement. We've spoken about this in the past. One of the reasons is that in the Galut, religious people tended not to be pragmatic. On the other hand, a non-religious person, he doesn't believe in the opium of the masses, right? Religion. He doesn't believe there is a world to come. He doesn't believe in the revival of the dead. He doesn't believe in Yemot HaMashiach. So he can't push anything off on God, like a religious person. Secular person, all he has is this world. So he has to be pragmatic. And that's why Greece is pragmatic. The Western world is pragmatic. And Rav Kook is saying that just like we all remember as adolescents, high school boys, we used to eat a lot, right? I used to have hot dog eating contests with my brothers. I remember my record was 22 hot dogs with a bun. And I didn't even win. Teenagers, when their body is developing, they need to eat a lot. They need a lot of energy. And Rav Kook is saying, now that we're coming back to the land of Israel, and we have to revive the language, the desert, the army, the state, politics, we have to revive everything, we need a lot of energy. And we're out of practice. So we need a lot of support from the Western world in order for us to get Kedusha running again. Okay, so that's another important point. Let's go on. So in 3 Dalid, Rav Kook again talks about Hagbala, setting up. Now that should not be Erbuvia, should not be in the wrong mix. Let's do source number 4. Here Rav Kook is going to deal with the who. Okay, till now we've basically been discussing what and what not. Here, let's look in the 4th line, a source 4 Aleph. Lashon ha-gezerah. Chazal made a gezerah in Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Pei Bet. He arur asher yilamed et b'no chochma yevanit. Cursed, this is a pretty strong decree. Cursed is somebody who will teach his son Greek philosophy. Rav Kook is medayek two diyukim, two deductions. Lashon ha-gezerah, he arur asher yilamed. It doesn't say cursed is anyone who learns Greek philosophy. Don't teach it to your son. Young people have to have first a strong base in Judaism before coming in contact with the Western world, right? There's, if you have a building which has a strong base, you can build high on top of it. On the other hand, if there's just a point and you try to make an upside-down triangle, it's not going to stand. So first we need, Rav Kook is saying, you have to be especially careful. Young people are very impressionable, and the Western world is so attractive, and this is one of the problems with the internet, maybe the problem of the internet, where everything is so colorful and so attractive and so problematic, we have to be careful to who to expose the Western world. I'll mention here, I really should have brought the source, in one of his letters, Rav Kook also talks about somebody suggested to Rav Kook, why don't we teach religious Zionism, Torah v'Avodah, to the Haredim? And Rav Kook says, if you expose somebody in a closed world to the modernism, he's just going to be blown away. They are not ready for it. In other words, Haredim will probably be overpowered by modernism if they were to come in contact with the Western world. So that's another aspect of who yes and who not. I'll just add parenthetically, I have a brother who's one of the top people in the National Library, And he told me about 30 years ago, or that's when computers first started coming out, he told me that a lot of famous Haredi rabbis learn with their computers in the National Library. And I was surprised, because they would not let their Hasidim or their students use computers. Now, anyone who's learned Torah with a computer knows there's no comparison. Anybody who knows how to use a computer can get to sources, can search, can find articles, can find responsa in a way that we can all, to a small extent, be like Rav Ovadia Yosef. Now, that is an unbelievable breakthrough. On the other hand, again, they started, but they didn't let their students or their Hasidim go. Today, little by little, it's getting in, but that's getting back to the first point, that it has to be slow but sure. Another point, Rav Kook says, notice, Chazal differentiate in the same source, not just regarding lo yilamed et beno, don't teach your son, but regarding adults, it's less problematic. But they also say, avalo al lishon yevanit. Chazal said that there's no problem to learn the Greek language. Lishon yevani lechud, chokhma yevanit lechud. The Gemara in Baba Kama says that there's a difference between the Greek language, which is okay, and Greek philosophy, which is not okay. What's the difference, explains Rav Kook, who hevdel shebein signon litochen. This is the difference. When we talk about Greek philosophy, that's adopting their values. We have our own values. The values of Israel, the values of our Torah, are holy, are godly. We do not need their values. The whole idea, continues Rav Kook, is to use their signon, use their language, use their external things, like democracy. Democracy, the Western world developed it. There's nothing, as a matter of fact, its sources even in the Torah, Chare Rabim La'atot. We go after the majority, but the West developed it. There's nothing wrong with wearing glasses either. The West developed it. There's nothing wrong with using computers. The West developed it. These are all external things. But don't let them bring their philosophy into our tents. What, again, Rav Kook is midayek, he brings here, Matzu chachaminu akdushim smach bepasuk, yaft elokim liyefet v'yishkon be'ohaleshem. Right? The beauty, the external beauty of the Greeks is very good when it's in the tense of Torah of Shem. So again, notice that the inside and the outside are covered. We don't want the Greeks running around naked outside. They should be in the tent. So that's the external covering. But there's also an internal covering, which the tochen, the garin, the idea, philosophy, has to be Jewish. So in between this, if you have a little Greek to help us get the Torah done, to help the nation of Israel get back on its feet, etc., etc., then that is okay. But again, this is a very important differentiation between the taking and learning the external frameworks from the Greeks. Now, let's jump for a second to something that we learned in the past in Source 5. We learned this together in Einayah, the Gemara and Masechet Shabbat in Source 5, and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, where it talks about the machloka between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rishon Bar Yochai about the Romans. And again, it's the external world, it's the idea how to relate. So we all know that Rabbi Yehuda praised three things of the Romans. Rabbi Yossi said, no comment. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai came out stronger against the Romans. Even the things that they do good, they do for the wrong reason, and we should stay away. And Rav Kook in Source 6, in Masechet Shabbat, Einaya, Bet, Reish Nun Tet, Rav Kook explains that all three, I didn't bring the whole piska here, all three of the approaches, there is a time and a place. There is a time and a place just to stay away from the Western world. There is a time and a place of no comment. And there's also a time and a place for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is what? Rabbi Yehuda said, praises three aspects of the Romans. What are the three aspects of the Romans? That they built shvakim, they built marketplaces, right? That they built Gisharim, they built bridges. And number three, they built merchatzot, bathhouses. Rav Kook explains, we'll just do this early in Source 6, that how is the globalization of the world going to take place? And again, Rav Kook is literally 100 years ahead of his time. He said the way that we should participate in the globalization, our globalization is good. It's good for world peace. Number one is the marketplace, which symbolizes economy. World economy, when it's good for America, it'll be good for China, it'll be good for Russia, it'll be good for everyone. So that is the symbolism of the shvakim, the marketplaces. The second thing that Rabbi Yehuda praises is the gisharim, the bridges, which symbolizes transportation. Now, Rav Kook saw airplanes in his time, but he had no idea that people would be, maybe he did think that, they'd be hopping, you know, like you hop from here, this continent, that continent. Rav Kook saw that this is going to make the world into one global village. And the third thing is merchatzot, bathhouses, which Rav Kook explains is health, universal health, which we just saw, the greatest example, during Corona, where the whole world is suffering. Today, there is no secrets. Because of the transportation, because of the gisharim, everyone is going to suffer from the same epidemic. But similarly, the whole world was running to find a vaccine. So they where did they find it? This Greek company, right? A Greek Jew. I don't remember where his company was based. Germany, maybe. But Bourla was from a Greek Jewish family. And thank God, he saved the world. So Rav Kook, again, is saying that what's the common denominator between all of these three things? Universal business, universal transportation, and universal health. They're all chitzoni. They're all frameworks, but they are not philosophic. We don't take the Greek philosophy. We take the good from the Western world, which again, it's not the outside. We bring it into the tents of shame, but also it's not the Torah that we learn in the tents of shame. We don't take their Torah. So this is another important point. Just one or two quick other points. This is a nice idea for Hanukkah. Rav Kook, in Source 4 Gimel, he gives, you know, Rav Zevin has an article on the Beit Yosef's question. The Beit Yosef asked the question, why if the miracle, there was enough oil to last one day. The miracle was 7 days, so we should be celebrating Hanukkah 7 days. Now, Rav Zevin, if I remember correctly, suggests 23 different answers are given by the different rabbis. One of them is this of Rav Kook. What does Rav Kook suggest? And it's very connected with Hanukkah, Jews, and Greeks. He says that the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash had 7 candles, 7 branches. Now, there's an Isur d'oraita to copy something identical, just like it was in the Mikdash. You're not allowed to make a ketoret in your house. You're not allowed to make a menorah. Rav Herzog has a famous tshuva, why outside the Knesset he allowed there to be a 7-branched menorah. We don't have time to go into details, but in general, you're not supposed to have a 7-branch menorah. Why? Because that's special for the Kodesh. Outside of the Mikdash, lahavdil ben Kodesh lichol, we will make 8 branches on the Chanukiah. And again, the idea is very similar, lahavdil, between the Kodesh, the Beit HaMikdash, and the Chol. Another aspect that we don't have time to deal with, but we don't have to, because we've discussed it in the past, source number 8, where Rav Kook talks about how in this globalization of the world is going to be one big happy family. But even within that one family, you need a Bechor. B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Am Yisrael is going to be the Bechor. What is the job of the Bechor? When our parents used to go out, and they would leave us kids, we used to kill each other. And on the other hand, the one who knew he would be held responsible is the Bechor, the oldest brother. And he made sure that we didn't kill each other. He is the responsible one. And when you can't see the parents, he's in place of the parents. When you can't see God, our Father in heaven, Am Yisrael is his representative in the world. Mm-hmm. So that we, again, the world is supposed to be speak one language. If it's going to be English, so that's going to be a certain type of culture. On the other hand, Chazal tell us that the whole world is going to be globalized and they're going to speak one language, but it's not going to be English. It's going to be Lashon HaKodesh. And the main point is the idea that the tochen of the movies that all the Spielbergs are going to make and the songs that all the Simons and Garfunkels and Bob Dylans are going to be writing are going to be written according to Ohalei Shem and not according to the Western Greek culture. And this brings us to the final point, the home court advantage. Because as long as the Simons and Garfunkels and Bob Dylans and Spielbergs are producing the culture of the world from Hollywood, it really doesn't make too much of a difference that they're Jewish. Yeah, we're proud of all Jews. Every time a Jew wins a Nobel Prize, of course, that's national pride. That's something good. But when they, what is Kibbutz Galiot? And we've learned this in the past. Rav Kook writes in Ikvei Atzon, Kibbutz Galiot is, imagine all of the Jewish Nobel Prize winners in the world will be winning them from one country. All of the Jewish professors in the world, all the Jewish doctors in the world, in one country, in the state of Israel. All of the Jewish movie producers and the clothes designers, they'll all be doing it from one country. And it's not just that we have to get out of Hollywood. Lech lecha mi beit avicha. We have to go el haaretz asher areka. Where Rav Kook explains, we have the home court advantage. Where, let's see it inside in Source 10. Towards the end of Source 10, three lines from the bottom of Source 10. And here we go. Avalo zoti torat hachayim. Rav Kook is talking about the problem of Torah in the Galut, which was not a living Torah. Hanitzrecha ledor shel ikvata demeshicha, the living Torah, which we need in the generation of national redemption. She muchrechet limashech mi eretz hachayim. It has to come from the land of the living. Mi makom beit chayenu, akochot nitoraru. Right? The spirit of the young people, of the chalutzim, of the pioneers, is awakened. We cannot, even if we want to, conquer the young, dynamic spirit which wants to revive the Jewish state and the Jewish land. It's not going to work. It has to be the way of light. Yirmiyahu says, Galut is likened to darkness. Eretz Yisrael is likened to light. What is the beauty here? And this is a mashal that I mentioned once. When you're in a dark room, the more furniture that there is, the more you trip. The more you run into things. It just bothers you. Get the furniture out of the way. And that was the way we lived in Chutz Laretz. Because in Chutz Laretz, the more we dealt with the Western or secular world, we just got assimilated. We fell. We tripped. In Eretz Yisrael, which is likened to light, Rav Kook explains, the more furniture and plants and pictures that you have, the more beautiful it is. Mm. And here we don't have to worry so much about tripping, because it's our art and our fashions. And again, today we're in a Bein HaShemashot, right? That we still have a lot of influence from the outside world, because the Jews are coming on Aliyah from the outside world. And also, if we want to influence the world, so Hollywood is going to, unfortunately, still be influencing us. But as long as it's just external things, that's not problematic. Rav Chalap in Source 12 talks about the idea, we don't have time to see it, we'll just mention the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer mentions the Chovot al Vavot, says that the more a person invests in the physical world, it's at the expense of his spirituality. The Chatam Sofer, Masechet Sukkah, Daf Lamed Vav, says that is only in Galut. In Eretz Yisrael, we should be farmers, we should serve in the army, we should be politicians, because here, even the secular is holy. And that is the home court advantage, and that's why even the good that we do take from the Western world in the state of Israel, we're not going to assimilate as much. If we're doing it in Chutz Laaretz, we're just going to assimilate, and instead of us influencing them, they're going to be influencing us. To summarize quickly all of the points. Point number one is, in fact, most of the rabbis simply oppose the Western world, period. Rav Kook is relatively liberal and open, and he sees the good, as we saw even in Rembrandt. I'll just maybe mention one last quote in Source 15, where Rav Kook also talks about the beauty of art, and he says, "Kol zman shechaser gam sirtut echad haganuz b'omek hanefesh, shelo yetza el hapoal, od yesh chova al avodat ha'omanut lahotziyo." The job of art is to bring out every single line which is found in the soul, and to express it, to help realize everything which is in the soul. So Rav Kook is in favor. But how? Point number two. Again, point number one is Zelo Pashut. It's not simple. Point number two is Yafe Yofyo Shel Yefet Be'olo Shel Shem. Yes, to take the good, but just the external, not the internal. And Lahavdil, not, it should not be Irbuvia, but to separate between the holy and the secular. Point number three, especially have to worry, because we do want to influence the world, and as soon as the pipe is open for us to influence them, they have to influence us. So what's the solution? Here are the conditions that we have to meet. Condition number one, daven. Right? We have to pray that Hashem should help us and not be influenced. Condition number two, to make that clear separation between Kodesh and Chol. Condition number three, what? Take the external, but not the internal, not the philosophy. Condition number four, the who? Not young people. Be especially careful about young people. And also not the Haredim. If somebody is in a closed world, it's better for him to stay in the closed world because it'll just blow him away. Like what happened to the Yemenites and the Moroccans and a lot of Ashkenazim too. When they met up with modernism, it just blew them away. And they weren't prepared for it. Condition number five, where? Again, we got the who, the what, and the where. The where is in the land of Israel, where we have the home court advantage, and even the secular here is holy. And also, we don't have to be so paranoid of intermarriage and being affected. We have to be careful. But these are Rav Kook's, in a nutshell, his complex relationship between Israel and the Western world.